Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Brian's here, too. Brian made it by the hair on his chinny chin chin. Oh, I put T in there.
I don't know either.
What are you doing,
Brian? I think I made a little bit more than that, considering the amount of hair on my chin.
Brian got here with minutes remaining before the show.
I also say we have many people, both past and present, who've been employed here who cut it way closer.
That's a straw man.
It's true.
Still a straw man.
Yeah.
I'm just stating facts.
Do you want to put yourself in the category with the two that you're probably thinking of specifically?
More than two, but no, okay. Not really. Yeah. I don't want to make this an everyday thing. Yes.
What were you doing, Brian?
Let's talk about it off air.
Did you watch a movie today?
No.
Oh, okay. If you were seeing Scream 7.
You were going to judge?
Yeah.
Did you post this show tweet?
I did.
Where did you post the show tweet from?
Stopped at a light on Richmond.
Good call.
I bet you were stopped, huh?
I was. There was thick traffic on Richmond.
Tweeting driving.
Is that a way to refer to traffic?
It is now.
Do we refer to traffic as thick traffic?
I'm an innovator, Jeremy. I'm an innovator.
I don't think we do. But the thing is.
Did you know what I meant?
Yes, I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
Brian was checking out that SUV in front of us. That is a
two
thick
seats.
SUV.
Yeah. Two seats.
Look at that SUV. That's thick.
Taking up all of that lane.
I've never heard a traffic referred to as thick. I don't hate it. I don't hate the Rockets winning a basketball game either. Hey, good job. Tip the cap. The allergies are really setting
thought
in.
I'd catch you again.
Now I feel the allergies today. They're starting to catch up to me a little bit. That was a good win.
It was a good win.
Look, the Magic are an above 500 team. They're not terrible at home. It's the second leg of a back-to-back. You were trailing for a good chunk of the game until that 21-0 run. All's well that ends well. Anytime you sweep it back-to-back, I don't care who you're playing, especially when one of the games is on the road, I applaud that.
Yeah, look, you don't want to be down that much. You didn't play great in the first half. It was maybe the ugliest first quarter of basketball I've watched all season. Not because of what the Rockets or Magic were necessarily doing. Little whistle happy, I would say. The referees were. But Reed comes in and he lights the fire.
He did.
I mean, the Reed stands. Back-to-back W's.
Yeah.
Bigger W's than the Rockets themselves, the Reed stands.
Oh, for sure. Games. Yeah, there were bigger wins for Reed stands than they were the Rockets. I think I'm a convert.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think I'm a Reed Shepard convert.
Really?
Yeah, I think I am.
I can't say I am.
I'm there.
I keep swinging back and forth.
Yeah, it's a very fine line. And look, I'm not like banging the table that he should start. I really don't care who starts games. But should he play 30 minutes a game? Yeah, I mean, Jabari might miss a few games here. That ankle sprain he had was pretty gnarly. So, I mean, it just might automatically be minutes available for Reed Shepard. But I have noticed that teams aren't attacking him as much on the defensive end. Somebody on Twitter was trying to data dredge me with like a bunch of like, hey, this is why Reed Shepard's a two-way player. Pump the brakes. Reed Shepard's not a two-way player. We can meet you in the middle and say you should play 30 minutes a game. He's not a two-way player. Let's pump the brakes there. But he does bring out the best of this offense. And look, maybe there's some nights where the shot's not falling and he plays 20 minutes, you know, and I'm still okay with that. Like, you don't have to bang your head against the wall playing him 30, 35 minutes if the shot's not falling, if the offense isn't flowing. You know, those might be nights where, okay, let's sit for a little bit longer than we might normally whenever the offense isn't flowing and his shots aren't falling. But he does add space. Like, he creates some space because teams have to respect his shot. He is making shots. He does get his teammates involved a bit. He's starting to be able to, like, run and orchestrate an offense much better than he did at the start of the year. Yes, he has his defensive liabilities, and I will never be talked into him being a two-way player. But I'm getting to the point where it's like, yeah, just play this guy automatically at least 30 minutes a night.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's a good point about if the shot's not falling. Like last night's a good example where Tari Eason's going to play 30, 33 minutes a game no matter what. He only took 5 shots, only had 2 points in the game. You need him out there no matter what. Jabari Smith, when he's healthy, he's going to be out there no matter what. Reed, if he's not playing well, if he's either really a liability on defense, if teams are attacking him, and or a shot's not going in, you can take him out. I want to see what it looks like in the playoffs. I do think, like, yes, teams are not attacking him as much right now, But what does that look like when you're playing, you know, the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs? Luka's going to go at him on every single possession.
Sure.
They're going to do whatever they can to get Luka on Reed every single possession. It's going to be a huge problem for the Rockets. But
I think you let the game talk to you.
Yeah.
You let the game talk to you.
But he's playing, he's shooting the ball lights out at this point. Like, it's hard to envision him not having a good role on this team. And I know, I think the biggest argument last night against Ime was, why did it take so long to get Reed in the game? Because once he came in, everything got much better.
It did. He sparked the 21-0 run in the second half. Israel is probably rolling over in his grave right now. We might have to change. We might have to change that drop. I know it was intended for Reed Sheppard. We might just have to start using it for Dorian Finneas.
Oh, he's a bum.
We might have to start using it for DFS. He can't do anything.
Yeah, he's awful.
He's bad at basketball.
He's very bad at basketball.
What kind of ankle injury did he have? A torn Achilles? Like, why is he so bad now?
I think he's just washed.
But he was fine last year. He was good last year.
You know, some guys fall off cliffs.
He had a sprained ankle, and he's treating it like it was a torn Achilles. You know what I think you know what I think happened here? I think he got paid and just got, like, fat and happy.
I mean, when his 1-3 went in last night, if it was the first three of the Rockets game, it felt like a miracle. It felt like a miracle.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes.
Like, it did. It felt that big of a moment for the Houston Rockets last night. I wish he was unplayable. I just don't know who you play instead of him.
Well, everybody else.
But like...
Okogie, Reed, Jabari, Tari, Amin. Like, literally everybody else ahead of him.
I mean, it's only 12 minutes. So find a way.
I mean, he's basically the last guy in the rotation. Of the guys who played last night, 9 of them, he played the fewest minutes.
Yeah, like, I honestly kind of wish the Rockets would have gone out and swooped in on Kyle Anderson yesterday before he signed with the Timberwolves after he got DFA'd, because I would have rather had him.
I don't know what they're going to do with this guy. Like, he's under contract for the next 3 years.
They're going to have to dump him. If they trade one of the pieces If they trade one of the pieces this offseason, you're just going to have to include him in it.
He makes 13-3 next year, the year after, and then has a player option the fourth year, which he's picking up.
Yeah, you might have to attach, like, not a first, but maybe a couple seconds to get rid of this player.
I think he got fat and happy. Like, a lot of people make the excuse of the ankle injury. He had, like, a sprained ankle. I know he had surgery. But he didn't have a torn Achilles. He didn't have a torn ACL. Yes, he's 32, but that's not 37. Dorian Finney-Smith, literally right now, and yes, he had the injury, is having career lows in minutes per game ever in his career. He had more minutes his rookie year in Dallas. He's averaging his fewest points per game by a full point lower than his previous season low. 25% from three would be a season low as well in his career. He's having the worst season in his career after signing a $53-ish million contract for 4 years. Coming off a surgery where they thought he'd be ready by opening night. Dorian Finney-Smith got fat and happy.
I don't know what else it would be.
He got paid and said, I'm done. I'm semi-retirement.
I mean, he has to be. Like, this is going to be a very bad contract for the Rockets if he doesn't pull off a miracle this offseason.
Yeah.
Because he really feels unplayable. You don't want him out there. He's not good defensively. He brings you nothing on offense. He doesn't bring anything on the glass. He's just a body out there.
If you were fully healthy, he might not play. Like, if you had Steven Adams, obviously you have Raymond Vliet, like, how is he playing on this team?
Well, he won't play in the playoffs.
No.
Like, they'll go down to an 8-man rotation in the playoffs, and he won't be part of it.
Maybe some, like, you know, sporadic minutes in, like, very nuanced situations. Yeah, that guy's been awful. The other guy who I've been sour about, because I've been on record saying Rafael Stone had a terrible offseason in free agency. Like, Kevin Durant trade, that was a trade. That's not free agency. I think Rafael Stone had a terrible free agency. Dorian Finney-Smith was your big, you know, ad, which you gave him a contract that looks terrible right now, as upside down as it gets. Clint Capella hasn't had a good season, but Clint Capella played well yesterday. I was proud of Clint Capella.
Well, he had to play well yesterday.
I was proud. He didn't have to. I know he got blasted, but he didn't have to play well.
I mean, I feel like after you get blasted like that, you have to respond in some capability and then also acknowledge it on social media like he did.
He responded on the floor, and then he responded on social media afterwards.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, Ayton, he said they're trying to make me Clint Capella, is what he said in the locker room after their loss to Orlando on Tuesday, which I guess means just a rim protector lob guy. Is that what he meant here?
I think so.
Which I don't think is that disrespectful.
It's not.
It's really not that disrespectful to say they're turning me into a shot blocker, you know, dunk spot.
Well, that's all
catch lobs.
That's all DeAndre Ayton should be doing anyways.
Yeah. So anyways, he said that. And then Clint Capela, after he had his most productive game of the season yesterday, 4 points, six rebounds. But he did block four shots. He did block four shots. And that's what you want Clint Capela to do. He I don't know what you call it on Instagram. I'm not really on Instagram much. But he put it on his stories and I guess wrote a caption over it. Kind of like a quote tweet, I would call it. You got two of the best floor general in the game, my dog. Lock in. Laughing emoji.
Yeah,
I'm not going to. He missed an S, though, at the end of general. Should say floor generals, not floor general.
He was in the heat of the moment. You're going to make mistakes.
I mean, I count that as a turnover.
But now we get a Capela versus Ayton potentially in the first round of the playoffs. Can't wait. They're going to throw down.
What are they going to do? Just, like, block each other's shots at the rim?
I mean, maybe Capela punch him in the face.
They're going to have a lob off?
Yeah.
They're going to have a rim protection off, those two?
I'll take Capela.
Yeah. So a lot of people are like, the Reed stands mostly. Hey, Reed must start. Reed must start. Reed must start. Reed must start. What would your starting five be?
My starting five would be as is. Durant, Jabari, Tari, Alperen, and Amen.
You're not married to the idea of Reed into the starting five?
No, I think Reed can come off the bench and play 30 minutes a game and be good in that role. I would like to see him play without Amen Thompson on the court a little more. Feels like Amen might be clogging things up for this offense.
Yeah.
A little bit. And it's, you know, two game sample size, but it's one game when Amen's not starting, one game when Reed goes in for Amen, and it gets much better. So I would leave it as is right now. If I was going to make a change, I would probably take Tari out and put Reed in.
This Jabari injury is probably going to force the change anyways.
Yeah.
You know, like Reed, I think, will be the natural guy. They'll slide everybody else down one. Like the thing with Amen, like, I mean, I've talked about this in the past. I was talking with Roosh a little bit on Twitter yesterday, too. Like, to me, Amen is a front court player on offense. Mm-hmm. Like, he, maybe you can get away with him at the three, but he's really a four and even a five offensively. Like, I want him nowhere near the perimeter. And I know he's capable of handling the ball. He's not point guard capable, though. Like, he's not going to get you into your offense. He's not going to get you going. Like, he's capable of doing it as a big 4-5 that's super athletic, and he can defend any position 1-5. But I don't view him as like a guard or a wing. I view him as a post, quite frankly.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when you have a center, you know, dropping into the middle of the paint because they don't have to guard him, it clogs up the offense so much because he's not a threat at all. And that's not going to change. It's only going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he had the burst to still be able to get around it like we used to see Russell Westbrook do. He hasn't really shown that. I mean, he hasn't really shown the ability that, hey, with a running start, I can still get by this center. Maybe he's not trying it a ton.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's...
Well, I think teams are packing the paint on the Rockets, too.
Yeah, but you would think that if he just drove it, that someone would be open on the perimeter, that Reed or KD or Jabari would be open, or Tari. I mean, you have all these guys who can shoot threes, that someone would be open on the perimeter. But yeah, you're right. He's not a guard. He's a power forward.
No, he's a power forward.
He's
I love him.
Power forward who can guard anyone.
I think he's a really good forward, too. Like, he's not going to be a guy that you like dump it to in the post and he goes to get you. But you can face him up against some of the, like, you know, unathletic fours. And then he's really good from the dunk spot, and he's a really good offensive rebounder.
Yeah.
He's probably the best offensive rebounder they have now that Adams is hurt. But he's just not really in those spots because he's being asked to be the point guard.
Yeah. What would your starting five be?
I wouldn't make a change either.
Okay.
Like, I actually like Reed off the bench because, like, your best two scorers on this team don't include Reed Shepard. Love this heater he's on, but he's not one of your best scorers. Your two best scorers are Kevin Durant and Alpi Shingun. Those are your best two offensive players. And you still have Jabari, who can be, like, a good role player, spot-up shoot. Tari's can be a good shooter, too, obviously. I kind of like Reed coming off the bench and being the offense. Like, maybe you sub one of those guys, Durant, in a man early, and then Reed Shepard comes in and say, okay, well, he's going to be one of our top offensive weapons here,
yeah.
Where you start running some screens for him, you put him in some pick and rolls, let him make plays. So I actually like him coming off the bench more, because I think it's a more important scoring role, which I think is his strength, as opposed to being the third guy whenever Kevin Durant, Alpi are going to get going early.
Yep.
So I actually kind of like it more with him coming off the bench.
Especially because you have no scoring from your bench outside of Reed.
Yeah.
None of those guys can score.
No, I like – so that's why – like, so staggering the offensive players I like to do a bit.
No, I think it's a good call. And look, it can change game to game as we're talking about it here and matchup to matchup, but – you also are going to – some of those defensive things, like if you are playing the Lakers, you know, Luka's not going to be out there the entire game. You know, you're not going to be facing Anthony Edwards the entire game if you have it. So you could also stagger in a way to where, you know, hey, if Anthony Edwards is out for a 5-minute stretch, Reed needs to be in during those 5 minutes because then he's not as much of a liability defensively. You can find ways to work around it. But I get why there's a push for him to be in the starting lineup with the way he's playing right now, too.
No, I get it. I get it. I just think it's more functional. I think there's better feng shui whenever Reed Sheppard is coming off the bench. And I know that me saying that's going to nettle all of the Reed Sheppard stands. I know it's really going to make me trigger them. But, man, it's just my take.
Well,
I
wonder what do you think the common lineup change would be amongst them? Because one of those where, as you always say, what's the solution? They always say start Reed,
yeah,
but they don't necessarily say for who.
Well, I think Jabari's going to miss a game or two.
Yeah, that's going to help.
So if you're healthy with what you currently have, no Adams, no Fred VanVleet, obviously, and you were like gun to my head, you better put Reed in the starting five or I'm going to shoot you, then it's probably Tari.
Yeah.
For me. But here's the counterpoint to this, and I've asked some people on the Twitter because I was farming engagement this morning by asking everybody, hey, what's your starting five? My Rocket stuff doesn't really do numbers, though. I'm not taken seriously as a Rocket guy on Twitter. But I did it. Maybe that's why, because I don't have a podcast. Maybe we can just copy somebody else's podcast name and be like, oh, we plead dumb. We plead ignorance. We didn't know that it existed. Sorry about it.
Start calling Clutch fans?
Yeah, we start calling Clutch fans.
Yeah.
I've never heard of Clutch fans.
Yeah, never heard of it.
I'm sure they do great, but yeah. I've never heard of it, yeah. So I'm going to have it. And then once you tell me that it's there, I'm going to – actually, Clutch fans. I remember Clutch fans when I was young. Clutch fans was awesome. I remember Clutch fans would always do those April Fool's jokes. Those were always funny. Much respect for Clutch fans. Love Clutch fans. Clutch fans was like Twitter before Twitter, Joe. You don't realize this as someone who grew up in Chicago. Clutch fans was awesome.
It was elite.
It was so good.
The message board, I don't think got any better than after like a big loss. They're photoshopped the pain threads after big playoff losses. Yep. Fantastic.
Bema Thug.
Yeah.
Like, who are the legends of Clutch fans? Bema Thug. Is it Da Dakota? Or whatever?
I don't remember. Was it David that started it? I'm trying to remember his last name. David something?
I think it was Craig Halvety or something like that.
Okay. Well, then I was forget way his, off.
But he went by Clutch.
Yeah,
so like,
yeah,
no
yeah.
one knows his name because he always went by Clutch.
Yeah, but he did interviews.
Eventually. Eventually he did more stuff. Like, he's made his moniker or his name more well-known. But for a long time, he was just known as Clutch. Da Dakota was a legend on Clutch fans. He commented on something on Twitter like a year ago, and I was like, "Are you Da Dakota?" Like, I was starstruck because Da Dakota of Clutch fans fame was like talking to me on Twitter. I was like, "Oh my goodness!" Like little Branham would he like in heaven right now? Like Da Dakota is recognizing me right now. He's talking to me. Yeah, that was peak. Peak internet.
Sorry, I missed
that. What were the years probably of that? Like Yao Ming time?
Yeah, like
before that?
I remember I feel like the heyday was like that first, that playoff loss to the Mavs. Like, was that 2005, 2006?
No, because I remember being on Clutch fans whenever they were talking about what they wanted to do after they won the lotto for Yao.
No, it definitely was in existence before that, but that felt like the peak to me, kind of around there. And then it's obviously stuck around for years after that. But
it was awesome. Loved Clutch fans. Clutch fans was the best. Did we talk enough about this game? Anything else you want to bring up in this game? Do we cover it all? Do we cover all the Rocket stuff? And you have thoughts, 713-780-3776.
Notari's good from his little tweak.
Yeah, he came back in the game. Yeah. I was a little worried about that. Oh, my counterpoint. Actually, I'm going to tease this. 713-780. No, I don't want to tease it. It's not that big. There's not enough on the bone. Like,
So everybody
wants to, like, you know, Reed Sheppard, hey, Tari Eason to the bench. Here's the counterpoint to that, though. Like, if Tari's your sixth man on a team right now that doesn't have Fred VanVleet, Steven Adams, and then an offseason of moves, are you re-signing him? Are you matching the offer that Tari Eason gets in restricted free agency?
I don't think it changes anything.
Okay.
Because of how deep the roster is, 1-6.
All right. But, I mean, you're paying, like, your sixth, seventh guy.
A lot of money, yeah.
A lot of money for your sixth, seventh guy.
Well, the other option I was thinking was, since we were talking about Reed, I saw you did, Brian. He did the hand motion.
What hand motion?
You said 6-7.
I did?
Yeah, you did.
I didn't even notice I did it.
You did it, and then Brian did the motion.
Oh, 6-7th guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't say 6-7. I said 6-7th guy.
Close enough.
If Reed could be an option scoring off the bench, could Jabari be a scoring off the bench? Like, could you start Tari?
Jabari's not an instant offense like Reed can be, though.
Well, he's talking about Tari. Brian, keep up.
I said Jabari.
You said Jabari.
Branham, keep up.
Classic Branham.
My bad.
You even got your stuff today.
I was just trying to get on Brian a little bit.
I know.
I'm trying to ruffle his I was trying to nettle Brian.
If Jabari can get one rebound in 29 minutes, then it won't hurt him off the bench.
Is that the R word? We're calling Jabari now. Rebound.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. From our burner.
That's better. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Astro hot takes from stuff that's going on. They don't play baseball today until 5 o'clock, but there's some hot takes to be had. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.
Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. So Astro hot takes. They played a split squad the other day. They don't play until 5 today. You know that?
I do know that.
5 o'clock game. You know who's pitching? Lance.
I saw two names playing.
Yeah, but Lance McCullers is pitching the baseball.
That's good.
We'll see if it's good.
I think it's good because we got to see what it looks like.
I'm actually eager to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
I'm actually eager to see how he does.
Is it god awful?
Yeah.
Is it semi-competent?
That's why I'm very excited.
What is it going
to
be?
I am very excited to see. I hate the new.
Is one of these games on TV today?
They said it's on Astros.com.
Oh, okay.
So I guess we could watch it on your computer, Joe.
We'll have to do that.
It's like on the website.
Usually not a great camera angle for that, I think, but
no, I'll probably just look at the highlights on Twitter. Altuve is playing, like you said, Joe. Mm-hmm. Joe Espada said today that Jose Altuve is a guy that should be batting in the first inning.
Okay,
it's interesting. He's leading off. Well, I don't know if it's interesting. No, it's a spring training game. It doesn't matter. They're just getting him his work and getting him out of the game. But I wonder where he does bat. So if he's going to bat in the first inning, and they said that Jeremy Pena is going to lead off. Is Jose Altuve going to bat in the two hole, or is he going to bat in the three hole?
I think I'd rather.
Or is Joe Espada guaranteeing that somebody's going to get on base every time in the first inning? He's going to bat fourth.
Don't think it's that.
No, I don't think so, it's that either.
I like the idea. I'm going to guess Altuve bats second then.
Really?
Yeah.
And then Yordan hits third?
Yes.
Okay.
Here's my reason.
I don't like it, but okay.
Who's more likely to ground into a double play ball? Altuve or Yordan?
Altuve.
Okay. Who's more likely to beat out said double play ball? Pena or Alvarez?
What?
Who's gonna beat the throw to second base? More likely. Pena or Alvarez?
I mean, that's usually a pretty routine play no matter who's running.
Well, I'm gonna give it to Pena.
I don't understand this logic here.
That there's a less chance of a double play with Altuve hitting into it if Pena's on first base than Alvarez on first base.
I don't think it's that big of a difference.
I have no other logic behind
it. Usually if you hit a laser to short, it doesn't matter if Ricky Henderson's at first
base.
That's true.
No, I mean, Altuve's going to bat second, I would think.
Yeah. I don't think Altuve's a great two-hole hitter.
I don't think he is either.
I like him more in the three spot. Altuve doesn't see a lot of pitches, doesn't draw a lot of walks. I like him in the three hole.
Well, that's why I don't want him in front of Alvarez for that reason.
Well, then have Alvarez back cleanup.
Well, the original lineup we talked about, I wanted Paredes to bat second.
Well, that's kind of my take. If Altuve is hitting second, hypothetically, does that tell that Paredes is playing less than we hope?
No.
Okay.
I don't believe so.
Is Altuve willing to move all around, or is he locked into the two spot and Paredes works around him in the lineup when he plays?
Look, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yeah. I mean, Altuve's been willing to move before.
Spinal.
Joe Espada does typically
keep philosophers of our time.
Guys in their spots, though.
So, yeah, unless it has to change because of performance. I think that they're going to go Pena, Yordan, Altuve, everybody else. Probably Isak, Correa in the mix, Walker, Yiner, kind of depending on performance. But I think that's how they're going to have their first three. Is I think they're going to go Pena, Yordan, Altuve. Like, they love hitting Yordan second.
Yeah.
Espada loves hitting Yordan second. I think that Yordan should bat ahead of Altuve. Like, I'm not you know, hell-bent that Yordan needs to be in the two-hole. Like, I'm not a huge analytical guy. I understand it. I don't love a lot of the, you know, reasonings for analytics. Like, people, well, Yordan needs more at-bats. I hear you on that, but do you think Yordan needs more at-bats, or do you think he needs slightly fewer at-bats, but the at-bats he does have, there's more runners on base in said at-bats? I'd rather have the latter. Like, I'll sacrifice 20 at-bats on the season if I'm getting 20 more opportunities with runners in scoring position for Yordan. Like, I'm making that trade. Which is what it kind of evens out to. Uh-huh. So I love the idea of batting Yordan fourth and just stacking dudes that get on base in front of him. So I if it were me filling out the lineup, and look, I'm not a manager. I'm a casual. I'm a noob. I'm a jabroni. I'm an idiot. I'm a rambling buffoon. All of those things. If I were doing it, I would go Peña, Isak, Altuve, Yordan.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with that.
That's what I would
do. I just
do.
Don't think they'll do it.
I don't either.
Yordan's going to bat second this year, most likely. Because, you said, they just like, that's what they like.
Yeah, if I were predicting it, I'm with you. I think it'd be Peña, Yordan, Altuve, and then you figure it out based on who's playing that day. Isak, 4, Correa, 5, Walker, 6, Shiner, 7, depending on who's playing that day.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at with that. Now, here's some new information, Joe. Hoespada. Joe Espada. I was just, sometimes the J is silent, like Jose Altuve. I mean, Ho Espada.
Not with a Joe.
Anyways, he was talking to, they're doing like the 30 clubs in 30 days on MLB Network, where they travel around to all the different spring training sites and they, you know, have a car wash basically. They talk to everybody. Mm-hmm. Joe Espada was answering a question from Cliff Floyd, I believe it was, about like Yordan playing left field and all this. And remember, you know, what fearmongers have told us in the past is that Yordan's never going to play left field. Well, here's Joe Espada most recently talking about the Yordan left field DH delicate balance.
No, and it's important. It's important because Yordan most likes to play left field. And that balance is important to keep it because he's a great hitter. Mm-hmm. But he also likes to go out to left field and put some at-bats behind him and go focus on something else defensively. And we're going to do that. And also by doing that, allow us to DH some other veteran players that we'll need to get him. I need to get him off their feet.
He's going to be in left. 50 games? 55? 60?
I think 2 years ago he was just over 50 because you and a previous co-host had a bet.
Yeah.
Which he won.
Which he won. He got like 54.
Yeah, it was barely over 50.
Yeah, I felt very confident in that bet too.
Do we feel like it's more than that? Are we bumping up to 60, 70?
So first and foremost, I just want to talk about how fearmongers are wrong here.
Yes.
I just want to point that out.
You have the floor.
I just want to point out that, you know, fearmongers, Yordan's not going to play left field. Joe Espada is only going to DH him. Like, he told us in November that he's going to be his primary DH. That means Yordan's going to play zero games in left field. That's what they all make you to believe. Which, by the way, why do y'all believe their quotes, A? Like, they're always changing what they say, or B, not even believing what they say.
Yeah.
Dana Brown, we're not making any more trades. They make a trade the next day. Like, why do you all believe people?
Even Joe Espada should bat in the first inning for Jose Altuve.
Yeah, why do y'all believe these people?
Yeah, he didn't even give a definitive he's going to.
People, these guys, whatever, they say one thing on one day, and then it changes the next day. And it's not just Dana and Joe. Dana probably is the biggest, you know, culprit here. But it's all coaches. It's all GMs. Like, they all lie through their teeth because they don't want you to know certain things. Yeah, that's another, you know, key example of a guy who says a lot and isn't always the most truthful. And it's not because they're lying. It's because you're not privy to the information, which is fine. We understand that. We've been around sports long enough to know that Dana Brown's not going to be like, yeah, we uncovered that Yordan Alvarez really had 8 broken bones in his hand, and we just didn't want to let you know. Like, they're not going to recklessly talk like that, although Dana sometimes can get reckless with his words. So I don't understand why people put so much stock in them. And then secondly, on top of that, why are you putting so much stock in them in November when so much can change between then and opening day? Mm-hmm. And as we all know, as people who have followed baseball for a majority of our lives, that things change rapidly depending on the new information that presents itself. So acting like something is going to be the Holy Trinity in November and like this is just the way it's going to be all season long is ignorant. I'm sorry, but it is.
Especially because with like if you just connect it with the Isak Paredes, you know, trade that it seemed like they thought was going to happen, you can say Yordan Alvarez was going to be basically the everyday DH if Paredes was not on this team. But with Paredes on this team, you have to have flexibility to move guys around. We still haven't yet to see Paredes play second or first base in a baseball game yet.
No, well, we've seen him play. We have not recently.
Yeah. So is he if he's bad at it, it changes things.
Yes.
It changes the dynamic of what you can and cannot do this season, and it changes the dynamic specifically with Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah.
If Paredes is unplayable at second and first, then he essentially has to
he's
be
not unplayable team. First. I'm convinced that that's not that possible.
He'll be fine at
if
first.
You can handle third, you can handle
yeah,
first.
Yeah, that's probably true.
With enough reps.
But you have Walker, Paredes, Yordan are your DH first base left fielders. Like, you're gonna need at bats and DH days for Paredes or Walker.
Yeah.
So as long as he's on this team, Yordan's gonna have to play left field. So
yeah, let's have the conversation. How many games in left field when we come back? Also, your spring training hot takes, if you have any. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5.
A ghost, I was alone. To watch in, kiss again. Given the throne, I didn't know to believe I was the queen that I'm meant to be.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Chandelier Rome is in the YouTube, which you can watch us. I haven't given us any of our information. I mean, it's a Friday. It's a holiday show. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can find us there, along with our dearest friends. YouTube.
A fat guy in his underwear living in his mother's basement.
Likely. Yeah. YouTube as well, ESPN Houston. You can listen on the ESPN app, website. You can follow along on TikTok, Twitter. Joe's at Joe George Radio, Brian's at Sackboy B-Mac, and I'm at Jeremy Branham, biggest fan of K-pop. But Chandelier Rome in the YouTube said, fearmonger, question mark, didn't you want to wrap Yordan in bubble wrap? You're contradicting yourself again. Well, this is where you change course depending on the cards that you're dealt. Yeah, I want to protect Yordan Alvarez at all costs. In previous roster constructs, yeah, I wanted Yordan to be the full-time DH. You're not wrong about that, Chandelier Rome. But with the current roster construct, you have to alter course based on the way the sales looked that day. You know, if you had rocky waters there in the Pacific, you're probably going to have to change course. If you're up on a plane and there's turbulence between point A and point B, what do the pilots do? They go around the turbulence. They avoid bad weather. So it's the same thing here, Chandelier Rome. You have to have feel. And that's something that you lack, Chandelier Rome. You lack feel. You lack know-how. You lack a little bit of baseball knowledge. You know, you just hear the facts and it's binary A or B. You have to be able to change course and go with the flow. Mm-hmm. You get punched in the face, you got to react. Ideally, in a perfect world, if I could pick everybody around Yordan Alvarez, I would make it to where Yordan Alvarez is primarily my DH. But with this roster construct, how can you do that?
No, you can't.
You can't do that because that means you're now giving 75 starts to Joey Loperfido instead of Isak Paredes. Mm-hmm. And which manager on planet Earth is going to do that?
Not a good one.
Not one. That's why people lack feel. People are like, oh, there's no spot for Isak Paredes. So what you're telling me by saying that there's no spot for Isak Paredes is that Ho Espada is going to play the likes of Joey Loperfido, Zach Cole, and Cam Smith way more than they play Isak Paredes? That's not going to happen. That's stupid. That's lacking feel. Your mic is off.
Yeah, my bad.
Lack feel.
It's totally illogical.
Everywhere you look, it's a lack of feel.
You could have made more of an argument when Jesus Sanchez was on this roster.
You could, for sure.
But now with him gone, it's just another guy. Like, you don't want Loperfido out there or Taylor Trammell or whoever's going to be in left field.
Which is one of my hot takes.
What's that?
Joey Loperfido was batting ahead of Cam Smith the other day. Do they think higher of Cam Smith than Joey Loperfido? Or do they think higher of Joey Loperfido than Cam Smith because Joey Loperfido was batting higher in the batting order than Cam Smith?
Hope not.
That wouldn't be ideal.
That would be not ideal if that was the case.
Yeah.
That'd actually be about as bad as it can get if they think higher of Loperfido than they did of Cam Smith.
Espada was talking about, he was asked about Cam Smith, and he's like, well, he's playing more center field now. We kind of want to get Jake Meyers off his feet more. So I think that they want to have Jake Meyers not play as much. Like, still be the primary guy out there, but, like, get him off his feet. I think they view, just by reading the tea leaves here, trying to have a little bit of feel. Just trying to have a little bit of feel. Take the pulse a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that they think that Jake Meyers is better when he plays 120 games than 150 games.
That's fine.
Yeah. So I think that's the plan.
I don't have any problem with that. And if Cole and Loprofito, whoever else, or Trammell are out there in the corners when Alvarez is not manning left field, that's fine, too. Jake Myers doesn't need to be out there for 162. I like Jake.
Yeah, it depends on how he's hitting, right?
But when he's in the slumps, he's slumping. He slumps hard.
Mm-hmm.
So he can take as much time off as he needs during those.
Yeah. Yeah. So how many games for Yordan do you think he'll start in left?
I think it'll just end up being just shy of 50.
Yeah, I think 50 is the number.
Yeah. I mean, the most I could see would be 60.
So we've heard the theory that, like, at home.
Yeah.
What if he just played left field every home game? Look, and again, I don't, if I were setting a number right now, I'm probably setting it at 40 and a half. Like, I don't think he's going to play many games in left, but every game you buy him in left field is a game that you buy Isak Pineda starting over one of these terrible outfielders that can't hit a lick. So what if you just commit to playing him most games at home, though?
That's fine.
Like, could you get it? And of course, him being healthy is another huge red flag. Although Chandler Rimp thinks he's an Iron Man if you just get rid of those two seasons in which he missed almost the entire year. But he's an Iron Man other than that. Mm-hmm. So maybe Yordan Alvarez can play 162 because he's an Iron Man, according to some. So I would put the number around 40, 41. I don't see him playing many games in left field. But I wonder if there's like, hey, you're going to be our left fielder at the dike.
Well, I think that works really well with your roster construction as well.
Uh-huh.
Because why is Paredes here?
Pull the ball in the boxes.
Yeah. So that means all those home games, it's the easiest play to left, one of the easiest places to play left field. He can get the most practice there, the most reps there. And then you have Paredes as your DH or first base with Walker as your DH at all your home games.
Uh-huh.
That's 41 games.
Yeah.
Right there. Like,
I think it's easy to do. I think it's easier to do now that Yordan and Espada specifically has addressed, like, yeah, he's going to play games out there.
Because
yeah. I remember whenever I put my plan together, which was, you know, just having a little feel, I was only playing Yordan in left field once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I still got everybody healthy amount of at-bats playing Yordan Alvarez in left field once a week. Now, I did have Altuve in left field once a week, which maybe that number is zero. I don't know. Like, I don't know how much Altuve is going to play left. You know, maybe we hear him taking Fungo out there and taking, pop-ups next week. But they haven't done it yet. He's only been on the dirt so far in spring training. So maybe that number where I had Altuve's playing left once a week is zero a week. But the number that Yordan plays left field once a week, I think is going to go at least maybe three times a week.
Yeah, I would like
two,
to see,
three times a week.
I feel like Alvarez should play some games outside of Houston.
Yeah, it's ballpark specific. Like whenever you go to Fenway, you can play out there then.
Yeah, specifically, like, you want him in a playoff series, in a seven-game series, you're going to want Yordan and Paredes on your roster, in your lineup.
Mm-hmm.
For all seven games.
No, for sure.
So
I hope they play a seven-game series.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I mean, even like that's where I would even have the Toronto exception, if it was a playoff series.
Oh, if it's a series, all the rules get thrown out the window.
Yeah, and just he's out there in left field.
Oh, yeah.
Paredes is your DH, and you're good to go. But that's why I think you have to give some ballpark-specific Boston, Arlington can work, where you can get him some games out there.
Oh, there's ways to do it.
Yeah, it just doesn't have to be all the time. But yeah, I mean, 50... somewhere between 40 and 60.
If he got 50, I'd be thrilled. I'd be over the moon.
It just depends on, I think a lot of it depends on how Paredes plays at second.
It does.
If he can't play second, then we could get closer to 60.
Yeah. Especially if the offense is reeling and it's like, man, we really need to get him in the lineup.
Yeah.
And then you start to press a little bit. Because everybody has these great ideas of, like, you know, we're gonna rest him. We're not going to play, you know, these guys that much. We're going to get them off their feet. They wanted to do that without Altuve last year. He played 155 games. Because all of a sudden it's like, oh, the offense is struggling. We can't take him out of the lineup. Oh, we're in a race. We can't take him out of the lineup. Oh, Yordan's hurt. We can't take him out of the lineup. Mm-hmm. So, like, this happens every year. Like, Altuve's older. We only want him to play 140 games. Oh, okay. Our offense isn't doing well. He's hitting. He's one of our few good hitters. Yordan's hurt. We're struggling. We're in a playoff race. And then you look up at the end of the year, it's 155 games, and he played 15 more games than you wanted him to.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because things change. Stop taking things you hear in November and think it's going to be that way the entire year, because it's rarely going to be that way by the time you even get to opening day.
Yeah, I mean, we'd be lucky if it does.
You just got to have a little feel. Just a little feel.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit feel. 713-780-3776. Some hater stuff. Astro hot takes are pouring in from the dozens and dozens of the Jeremy and Joe
Junkie
fans. Also, hey, look, if you got hot takes, you got Astro questions, we'll take them a little bit here. We'll do that to maybe the top of the hour. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
Home, ESPN.
97.5.
Listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
This is what I sound like whenever I sing.
Yeah.
Landscaper Chris.
Is that accurate?
I don't sing. Boss just told me I can't sing on the air anymore. Probably because I sound like this. They didn't want me to melt.
All of our people just crashing their cars.
Harris County Commissioner Precinct 3 told me to chill out. Like, chill out.
We could do Jose Jorge. We could do Brandon Sings.
We're efforting him, by the way.
Yeah, we're efforting.
I got suspended in middle school because of my behavior in choir. That's a true story.
Okay. Was this when you were sneaking liquor into your... wasn't water bottles. You were sneaking liquor.
Ryan,
was
that I've never an said this on the air.
Yeah, that was an
You're outing me, dude.
Sorry, I outed
and
you.
And it wasn't me.
At least Jeremy's never outed a person for alcoholism publicly.
It's also not accurate. It's not accurate. You continue to say that I am the one that outs him for being a drunk. That was outed 20 years ago.
Yeah, the general public doesn't know that.
It depends on what neck of the woods you're from.
Yeah.
And that wasn't me that was doing that, for the record. I don't know if you said that or not.
I don't remember what I said.
Yeah, I didn't do that, for the record. I knew people who did that.
Yes.
I didn't do that.
Yeah, a friend.
I didn't say a friend. I said people.
Oh, okay.
I said people I went to high school with.
You abandoned them once they started drinking?
I don't remember if I was friends with those people. I don't remember if my friends did it or not. They probably did. A good chance they did. I don't know for sure if they did. Landscaper Chris, I don't think we should rely on Jordan to give us that many games in the outfield. He could hoe us spotted with an injury by June.
Fair.
See, he's never, according to Jordan, he's never gotten hurt playing left field. Although I think you can give him the Atlanta firework thing, left field thing.
Because
if he didn't go out to left field that day, does he get close enough to the smoke to get hospitalized?
Probably not, but it was a minimal missed amount of time.
He had to be hospitalized, but he was back like in 2 days.
Yeah, so it's, you know, if he's just out for 2 days whenever he's in Atlanta. Oh, does that mean? Well, I guess they do the fireworks late enough on Friday. The players are gone, so he'll be okay.
Hopefully.
I'm also not going to bank on the stability of a guy that got hurt by a hotel pillow.
What did he say? Stability?
Stability.
Oh, stability. I thought you said stability. I was like, I'm not smart enough to know what that means. I thought you were dropping in a word of the day or something.
At least you heard me talk this time.
Everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face, and it all comes back to pitching to save you. The question is, do we have the pitching again this year? To be determined.
Yep. Very TBD.
To be determined on that one. Does it matter who plays left field? It's the easiest position in baseball. Well, I don't think they're sticking Easok out there. I think that was the plan last year with Altuve, though. Like, okay, Altuve stinks as a second baseman. Let's go hide him in left field, which I actually didn't hate.
I don't know why they've just abandoned him.
I think they're trying to save his legs. That's my guess.
My only
because we do know that he had a foot injury. He was playing through a foot injury late in the year. Had to have surgery on the foot. I think that they're trying to save his legs.
The only other thing I was thinking was in the clip we played earlier from Joe Espada, he did reference that Jordan likes to play in left field.
Yeah,
it seems like he's taking player say a little bit here. So if Jose Altuve says I don't like left field,
well, I think Joe Espada's always in that
more so than before.
No, I think he's always been like, what do you want to do? And I'm going to listen to you. I don't think Joe Espada is like this dude that like goes in the clubhouse and like, it's my way or the highway.
It's not great managing.
I think, well, it's Joe Espada.
Yeah.
Like, who's got more pelts on the wall? Jose Altuve, Jordan Alvarez, Carlos Correa, Joe Espada.
Those guys?
Yeah. That's why like Dusty like worked here. Like, Dusty had the cachet to be like, hey, like, and Dusty was player manager, though. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, Dusty was like an authoritarian, you know, a dictator, an authoritarian.
I was like, are you scared of that word?
I needed a second to kind of regroup. That's why I stuck in the other word. I needed to regroup there. I needed to step out of the box, recompose myself. Junkie Huey in Spring says that's the best bump music I've heard on the station. That was me singing. Hot takes: Pena regresses back to 2024 numbers and just is a mediocre shortstop.
Yikes!
Cash or trash that.
I'm going to trash it.
I think it's going to be difficult for him to put up the same numbers, though. I will. I'm going to hedge that take. I don't think he'll regress to where he was prior to last year, but I don't think he will duplicate what he did last season.
I mean, if he can be.
Like, I don't see him hitting 304. I don't see him having an 840 OPS. I think he's going to be more of a 275, 800 OPS guy.
Yeah, but that's fine.
That is fine. Yeah,
that's
I agree. That's fine.
Yeah. You can't be 2024 Pena, though.
Like, he was top 10 in MVP last year in 125 games. It's going to be tough for him to do again, I think.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Correa plays less than 100 games. This is his next hot take. Cash or trash? I mean, if you just eliminate, like, all the times Carlos Correa got hurt, he's pretty much an Iron Man.
I'll trash.
Hashtag Chandler Rome.
Trash. That.
Well, I think it's because you want to trash that.
No, because Carlos Correa has played under 100 games.
Fair.
Three times in his career.
And one of the times was
outside of his rookie season.
One of them was a COVID year?
Oh, yeah. So then three times if you include his rookie season.
144 last year. He played 86 and 24. He played 135 and 23, 136 and 122. If I said you get 130 games of Carlos Correa, do you sign up for it right now?
Yeah.
Or do you roll the dice?
No, I'll sign up for that.
Yeah, I do too. Plus, it kind of fixes your infield surplus.
There's 40. There's 50 games.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. Yordan top three for MVP. I think he's going to get. I think that's why he's playing left field.
We're just going to move past Joe's math.
He wants to.
I fixed it. Okay.
No, you didn't.
I fixed it.
No, you didn't.
I said 40 and then 50.
How many games did they play, Joe?
I saw 52 exactly. Sorry, I didn't give it exactly.
No, it was what was the Correa number? 132.
Oh, I think you said 130.
Yeah, at 52, that's 182.
I think I did say 130.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. My math was right.
I usually round up to the nearest,
Your math was right?
My math was right. In my brain, how many games they played in the season was wrong. I was thinking 180, not 160.
He didn't know which number to factor by.
What's worse, not knowing how many games they played or,
just
or doing the math wrong?
All right, show up on time, okay?
You're kind of nitpicking right now.
Is it? Thinking they play 180?
Well, 180 is a little high.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Sorry, I think they're going to play 180 games next year.
Nah, they won't.
Oh, Hater Brian.
You're on top three MVP.
I'll trash it.
Trash.
I think that's why he's playing left field. He wants to rack up these war points defensively.
How far back would you
have to go? About 0.2?
Yeah.
How far back would you have to go to cash it? Top 10?
I mean, it comes down to health. If he's healthy, he plays a full year, he's going to be top 10. I think that much of him is a hitter.
Like, the question is, how many games does he have to play to get there?
140.
I would agree.
And I think he has to hit 40 home runs for the first time.
I don't think he has to hit 100. For what?
To
be top 10?
To be top 3.
I don't think he has to hit 40.
Has he been top 3 before?
As a DH?
Well, he's going to play left field, Joe.
Man, but like, not a lot.
It's not going to add to his war.
He's going
to
play left field. Be a left fielder. Best left fielder in baseball. Cannon arm. No, he's not a good defender. His top MVP finish was third in 2022 in 135 games.
Hitting less than 40.
Hit 37. It was his career high that year with 37. Yeah. But yeah, less than – he has a 13th place and a 9th place finish. Now, he doesn't have to hit 40.
Yeah, I guess not.
If you get an OPS north of 1,000, I mean, you're going to be a top 5 MVP
guy. I didn't think he had finished the top 3 yet in his career.
That was his best year.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago. People thought he was going to go nuts, remember? Mm-hmm. Whenever Yordan's all said and done, and I feel gross saying this, he's not gonna have lived up to the hype that Yordan Alvarez.
No,
we all thought he was gonna be.
Well, no, I mean, we were saying he's like the next Poppy.
Yeah,
he's not that. He's still a really good player, obviously, but he's not.
And he's still young. He's 28. Like, yeah. Poppy did a lot of his stuff in the 30s too. But it comes back to health. Like, you're gonna have to be healthy, man. That's why I like Yordan playing station to station. People get mad when I say that. People are like, or I don't like when he slides. Like, I'm not saying that he shouldn't slide ever. But, like, hey, don't slide unless you absolutely have to. Don't take extra bases. Like, I don't need you to go first to third on July 3rd. I don't need you to try to score on an overthrow pickoff at first base. I don't want bang-bang plays at the plate. And people are like, oh, you're anti-hustle. You don't appreciate a baseball player that hustles. No, I want to keep the best player on the Astros healthy. And I don't care if you loaf over 162 if it means I keep the best player healthy. So, like, we and I've been guilty of this, and I still kind of stand by it, like, put Yordan Alvarez in bubble wrap. Like, okay, I want to protect Yordan Alvarez. I'm guilty. Guilty is sin that I want Yordan Alvarez to be healthy. But a lot of it has to be the way Yordan Alvarez plays. Like, Yordan, stop stealing second base in a AAA game.
Yeah, please never do that.
Yordan,
again.
I appreciate you hustling, trying to score at the plate, but, like, hey, we need your bat in the lineup. Like, mm-hmm. You just rolled your ankle on the plate. So a lot of it is kind of like, I know that Yordan's mentality is, like, I don't want to be viewed as that. I don't want to be viewed as, like, David Ortiz. I don't want to be viewed as, like, this overweight, you know, hefty lefty that only DHs. That's very obvious. Like, I want to play left field. That's very obvious with him hustling around the bases. Like, he wants to be viewed as a complete player. And that's, like, I understand that mindset. But, Yordan, we don't need you to be a complete player. We need you to be in the middle of the lineup hitting 40 home runs a game.
Yeah.
I don't need you going first to third on July.
Yeah,
in July.
It's what's best for the team, not necessarily what's best for the player. But it still might be what's best for the player in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also, he knows it's going to get there. There's going to be a point where no matter what organization he's in, this one or another, he will never play left field. There will be a point in time
yeah.
where if he plays
probably
140 games, it will only be as a DH.
And he's the kind of guy, like, I think can produce in his mid-30s.
I agree.
But he's going to have to stay healthy. Like,
yeah.
He can be Big Poppy. He can be Big Poppy that's slugging and doing all the stuff that Big Poppy did in his mid-30s. But it's kind of going to take that mindset of, like, okay, like, all right, those days are behind me. I'm putting that in the past. Like, I'm going to be a guy that I am going to loaf it half the time. That way I stay healthy. And then his last one, Eric, the best neighbor ever, says Altuve turns back the clock for half the season and is an all-star.
Hmm.
The thing is, he wouldn't accept the trip to the all-star game. He's kind of boycotted those.
Yeah, but I will.
Unofficially.
I'd be willing to cash that.
Okay.
I'd rather be in the second half of the season.
All right.
Into the playoff push.
Same, yeah. But if he's playing 155 games, he'll probably fizzle.
At some point.
At the end. More people have some hot takes. So we'll continue this conversation. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. You know, whenever I'm hungry, you know what I like to do? I like to go over to Federal American Grill any time of the day. I especially like ordering their lunch, though. I don't go to any of those third-party websites to order the lunch there at Federal American Grill. You know what I do? I just go to the website, thefederalgrill.com, and then I click that link in the top right corner. You can just post your city, state, postal code, whatever's nearest to you will pop up. There's a bunch of locations in the city of Houston, too. I like to go to the one up in the Woodlands that's nearest me. The River Oaks location's opening up soon, by the way, if you're in the River Oaks area. But they got one on Shepherd, Hedwig Village, Katy, also downtown Houston. And plus, the food is terrific. You're never going to order a bad thing on their menu. But also, you know what's really cool there? Social hour. Social hour is unbelievable. 3 to 7 every single day. $10 appetizers for you, so you can have a really good bite for not very expensive. And they have the handcrafted drink specials, too. Drink specials that are out of this world. Also, world-class whiskey at Federal American Grill. World-class bourbon, which is a perfect way to kick off your Friday, I think. Perfect day to go to a social hour at Federal American Grill Friday, because you're getting the weekend started the way that you need to get the weekend started. Also, don't forget to join Club Fed for all the rewards, perks, and exclusive offers at Federal American Grill. Check out the lunch. Check out the dinner. Order online. Get over there for social hour. TheFederalGrill.com. Federal American Grill. Precision cooking meets quality ingredients and a tribute to classic American cuisine.
ESPN 97.5.